Welcome to the Word of Christ, sermons from Pastor Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Great Bend, North Dakota, and Peace Lutheran Church in Barney, North Dakota.
The third reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. When the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that the whole of God's law hangs on two commandments: love God and love your neighbor. These are the summary of the two stone tables of the law as Moses received them. And the commandments are cut in two directions. They are toward God and they are toward other people. And the summary of both of them, the sum of God's holy and perfect law and will, is this: it is love. Love fulfills the law. Jesus says that the prophets also hang on this twin command. They preach to the people of Israel, men and women who did not love, who neglected his commandments, and who chased after other gods. The face of the prophets in the Old Testament is always said to be set against the people. It's not toward them. They spoke the Lord's rebuke and his command. Often they also spoke his mercy and his comfort as well. But they always could see that there was a hang-up when it came to love. And that is that love does not come naturally to sinful mankind. Not in the pure and the absolute measure of God's commandments. Who is there who fulfills these two commandments? The hang-up of the law is that it always accuses sinners. It can never be spoken in such a way that it will not judge. The law always finds sinners when it is preached. And if you are not a sinner, or if you think that you are not a sinner, then it will make a real sinner out of you. The proof is in today's gospel reading. Now I ask you, could Jesus really have said it any nicer than when he said that the greatest commandment is love? No, that is very nice sounding. And yet, when Jesus says it, the hearts of the Pharisees do not melt. No, rather this word of Jesus hardens them. They go back to their little group to huddle up together. They had been hoping for a debate, kind of like last week, holding the law at a distance. And instead, when Jesus answered them, they were convicted by it. He preached it. He said, "You must love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the word that Jesus uses in today's gospel for hang, as in everything hangs on these two commandments, it is the very same word that is used for the gallows. We, all of us, are hanged on these words because they convict us. Love does not come naturally to us, certainly not to those who are our enemies. At least not the selfless sort of love which fulfills these two greatest commandments. Who is there who fulfills these two commands? The Pharisees have no answer. But Jesus does. What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? Jesus asked them about the Anointed One, about the Messiah. He asks about that seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, the offspring in whom all nations will be blessed, the one who was provided like Isaac's ram substitute, the Lion of Judah, the shoot from Jesse's stump. And they answered that he is the son of David. Well, if Jesus had asked for his birthplace, surely the Pharisees would have known that the answer was Bethlehem, the city of David. They knew that when the wise men came. But instead of asking them about Bethlehem, Jesus quotes from Psalm 110, the psalm that we spoke today. How is it that David can call him in the Spirit Lord? You see, David was not only a king of Israel, he was also one of those prophets who is hanging on these commandments. His prophecy is found for us in the Psalms. Even as the Psalms say, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And what is it that David's tongue composed by the Holy Spirit's inspiration? It is the first verse of the Psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You see, David's descendant, his son, his grandson, great-grandson, would sit on the throne of God's authority forever. The promise was that it would be a son from David's own body. And that son finally would subdue, by the Lord's might, all of Israel's enemies. But the psalm does not say, the Lord said to my son. It does not even say to my seed or my offspring, which would of course be a promise of this Messiah. But instead, David writes something amazing. He says, the Lord said to my Lord. God spoke to God. David's son would be David's God, the Lord. Now, what the Pharisees refused to acknowledge, we, dear saints, acknowledge every single Sunday. We do it whenever we confess, I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten from the Father from eternity. God from God, not a ray from the sun, but light from light. True God from true God, begotten, not created, and of the very same substance as the Father, and with Him also the Creator of all things. And yet, this Lord, this God, came down from heaven for us men and for our salvation, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and born of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. How is it that David's son also is David's Lord? Well, this, dear Christians, is what we call the mystery of the incarnation. That the eternal Lord took up human flesh in time and was born a man. The very same Lord, the one who sent his Spirit to David to inspire today's psalm, he is also now the descendant of David as well, the one about whom he was singing. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ. But he is not only a man. He is God in the flesh. And at this greatest work of God, every head and every knee bow. That is why in the Nicene Creed, Christians either kneel or they may bow as they are able when we say that he was incarnate and that he was made man. We do that little action because God has honored us by uniting himself to our human nature. That is worthy of a bow. When Jesus puts himself and his incarnation out there before the Pharisees in today's gospel, he's not changing the subject on them. He is actually giving the real answer to the real question that must be asked. Who is it who fulfills these two commands? Where is the law fulfilled? How is it that David's son is David's Lord? The answer is love. David's son is David's Lord because of his love for sinners. This love of God for sinners, which we call grace, his undeserved mercy and favor. And all of the prophets and the law are left hanging on these two commands, love God and love neighbor. They are left hanging until Jesus, that is, until the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. David's Lord has taken up David's flesh to fulfill all of it. And thus, as David was inspired to sing in Psalm 40 of Jesus, "Behold, I come to do thy will, O God, and in the volume of the book it is written of me." These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of the eternal Son of God who loved his Father with his whole heart, coming to accomplish his will to save sinners. And while there is no greater love among us mere men than when one man lays down his life for his friends, Christ died for us while we were his enemies, while we were yet sinners. He died even at the urging and the jeering of these very Pharisees. And he did it willingly. He did it willingly out of selfless love for them and for you, for all sinners. The law is fulfilled in Jesus. The prophets are also fulfilled in him because he is David's Lord and Son. And thus in Jesus, the hang-up of the law comes to an end. That word hang from our gospel also has another use. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Is this Lord Jesus Christ, God in your flesh, who dies and hangs as a curse in your place, who pays your debt, who puts his eternal, divine, and unlimited love on the line for us? Dear saints, do not be hanged on the horns of this dilemma as the Pharisees were. this dilemma that only love fulfills the law, and yet we look at ourselves and see that our love is weak. It is weakened through sin, through the devil's temptations, and by the fear of death. But know that the law itself, with its record of debts and legal demands against you, the law itself has been hanged on Jesus' cross. It has been nailed there in His divine flesh. Think of the Christ, and think of whose Son He is. David's and the Father's. And so be comforted also with these prophetic words of David, that He will reign on the throne until the Father puts all enemies under His feet and make them like a footstool for Him. That is why we bow our heads so often as Christians in the divine service, or when we can, we kneel if possible. We do it for the absolution. We bow and we kneel as we confess the gospel. We kneel most of all, if nowhere else, to receive the Holy Communion. And we do all of this because our incarnate Lord Himself is at work in these very means. He was born of a woman to crush the serpent's head under His heel at the cross. But it is through His word and His sacraments that He puts a continual boot print on Satan's face for you. And He brings all of the benefits of His cross to you. These, His word and His sacraments, these are the weapons to fight against sin. These are the means by which the Holy Spirit is given. The Lord David's Son, omnipotent, reigns. And He will not stop reigning, David says, until your enemies, all of them, your sins, your temptations, your unloving thoughts, your unloving words and unloving deeds, all of them are stomped out, strewn like corpses across the ground, finished and dead forever. He is not even going to stop until that last enemy, death itself, has been defeated in the resurrection of your flesh, which He also shares. So do not go away angry. Do not go away with a hard heart as the Pharisees do. And do not give up. Instead, hang on. Hang on to your Lord Jesus Christ. Because in His love, all things hold together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Word of Christ. You can find more sermons at verbachristi.blogspot.com, and if you have need to contact Pastor Denzer, you can email him at pastor@denzer.org. That's pastor@denzer.org. But the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Amen.